This episode is brought to you by Fat Expats. It's the new expat magazine that's coming your way next month. If you'd like to find out more about it, head over to twofatexpats.com. You'll see a pop-up and you can sign up and we'll shoot you some information. Hello, Kirsty Rice. How are you?
Hello, Nikki Moffat. Oh, I bet that's really confused people now. That's not how we start. Hey, Nikki, I was going to say to you, I've done that. I don't know, would they call this reverse culture shock if I was in therapy? I'm not sure, but I think I did that thing, you know, usually I'm in Qatar where Sunday is the first day of the working week and you're in Hamburg. But of course, I am now in Australia where Monday is the first. And I had a moment today where I thought, oh, I've got to do the podcast because, you know, we were texting. And then I thought, oh, won't Nikki have to go to work? Oh, no, Nikki won't have to go to work because it's Sunday because it's the first day of the working week here because it's Sunday, but it's not for her. And then it was like, oh, I've got that completely the wrong way around. And I'm wondering, have I just ruined 10 years of work in Qatar where I finally got used to Thursdays being Fridays and Sundays and Mondays and now it's all ballsed up? Yes.
Well, I'm sure you're not the only one, Kirsty, who goes through that culture shock. But no, that's right. So an update on last week, because sometimes we open questions and then we don't close them. But I'd like to explain to everyone that the first day of autumn in Germany is September 22nd. So last week we were talking about you having the first day of spring.
Yes.
Because it was September 1st. And I said I didn't think that autumn started on the 1st in the Northern Hemisphere. Yeah. And so I did my research. So just to let you know that it doesn't start until the September, which means the first day of winter is December 21, which is, that feels like it should be the middle of winter, December 21.
Yeah, anyway, it really does.
That's why.
It really, really does.
It feels like the middle of summer in Australia, so I'm not really sure why. But anyway, that's pretty grim because we're looking at a winter without Christmas markets this year, so that's probably not going to be good.
Oh, no, that is awful. Like, because what is Germany without the winter markets? Because that's all those.
What is it? It's just a whole lot of very grim weather.
Hey, talking about circling back on things too. Last week I noticed I said something. I was talking about my podcast recommendations and I said, oh, I'm listening to Drive by Future Women. And I said, I'll come back and talk about that later. And I never, ever did. And Future Women is actually one of those, you know, sort of, I don't want to use the term women's magazines, but it's a women's website. Helen McCabe, who was at the Women's Weekly, she does Future Women. But I wondered what is happening to all of these sorts of organizations now, because a Future Women is a site where it has a membership and you pay for your membership. And there are three different types of membership. So you can pay to get, you know, the newsletter or pay to get the magazine, and then you can pay for your special membership where you get to go to all the events. And I thought, I wonder what's happening with those sorts of businesses, because, you know, we have a lot of, you know, breakfast meeting organizations and, you know, all those people that survive on bringing in speakers to do the circuit. And I'd thought about the speakers and what is happening to those people and the artists and the promotional people, but I hadn't thought about, well, what about the digital businesses that survive in that way? And I'd be interested to see what's happening with Future Women, because it does look like a really good service.
Yeah, but and what about Rotary? Yes. You know, your Rotary Club breakfast was once a month at the RSL.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
it's just all those organizations must be, if somebody knows, just drop us a line and let us know what's going on in your country with those things. Now, Kirsty, something else you touched on last week was that chemo and radio was nearly over.
Yes, it's over. And so it's over. I'm singing and dancing here in my chair.
I can see that she's dancing and singing.
So, yes, it is over, which is wonderful. And now G is just recovering and, yeah, it's a nasty thing, radio. It basically burns your bum
And so he has similar symptoms that people who have been through childbirth would understand and experience, except someone's burnt him for weeks and weeks on end, like a really bad sunburn that goes all the way inside your bottom. So yeah, he's doing well, but he's, you know, very a little bit tender and a little bit sick, because those chemo drugs too stay in your system for weeks and weeks and weeks before they make their way out.
Yeah.
Okay.
I saw a lovely Insta story of him reading the paper on Sunday morning, sitting out on the veranda with Buddy the dog, and it looked you and Buddy, and it looked very, very yeah. lovely. So hopefully he has a quick, smooth recovery to feeling a yes. lot better. Okay, Kirsty, the four fat questions for this week. Do you want to start with your first question?
Sure. Nikki, I can't remember whether I actually said this out loud or in my head last week, but I have been thinking a lot about authenticity, because I've been thinking about when we were talking about Brené Brown and people like that, and I was thinking, I really worry for our children in this day and age about finding their authentic self, because so much is on screens and social media and whatever that, you know, maybe they don't share themselves in the same way because they're conscious of it all going out to the world and how it affects them and whatever. But I was thinking about, well, does being an expat stop you from being your authentic self in a way that, when you're an expat, you're constantly adapting, and whether that's changing your language or modifying your behavior or even sort of softening your edges, you know, so that you're not going to be too offensive in a new culture. And does all that really stop you from really being your authentic self?
It's a good question, isn't it? You know, you say when you move to a new country, you've always got a chance to reinvent yourself. So if you are feeling a particular yes. way, or you got stuck in a rut, or something happened in another country, when you move, it's a chance to sort of become a new person and whatever. And I mean, I say that and I believe it, but I never do it. I always start. And that doesn't mean that, like, you know, I'm going to get a new exercise routine or I'm going to eat healthier. I'm talking about my interaction with other people and how I feel about myself. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I am, because what I have noticed since I've come back to Australia, because, you know, usually I come back and I'll come back for a few weeks, or at the very most the entire, like, I'll come back for the summer break for the school holidays. But I'm always going back. So it's always, there's an element of all that small talk that you have. How long are you here? How long are you staying? Da, 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 da. But I have noticed that my behavior is changing and my language is changing the longer I'm here. And the more time I spend with old friends, and sort of now that I'm also making a few new friends, it feels different being here. So I get really bored of having the cancer conversations, the corona conversations, all that stuff about going back and how that all goes. Yeah, we all know. But when I get to move past that and kind of experience everyday Australian life, I am feeling differently than I have for a long time. And I sort of, dare I say, I'm more relaxed and even maybe a little bit more bogan. Bogan is a very Australian word, isn't it? And I don't know how to, you would explain. I guess if you're in Britain, what are you? You're a Chaz, or you're a, what are you, redneck if you're American, if you're bogan? I'm not sure. But I can sort of feel parts of me returning that I hadn't really realised were gone. And I think Australians really embrace their imperfections, and I think maybe I'd forgotten that, and I can just feel it. And the one of the only examples I can use is I had a conversation with someone who I met when I first moved to Jakarta. So I'd only just recently left Australia, And she was talking about how I'd told her about how I'd been for a bikini wax and the phrases I'd used about doing it. And I, when I was, she was telling me, because she was saying how funny I was, because, and I can't, I cannot use the phrases in this podcast because there was a language warning, but I had been very graphic in detail about bits I thought I might lose in my bikini wax. And she was saying how she can remember, like, we just met and we were in a group of, you know, 20 people, and I was talking about that. And I when she was telling me, I was thinking, I cannot imagine me speaking like that, like being like that. But I think that was me. That was authentic me at that time.
Yeah.
You know, and I was being my true self. And I think over the years now, and this is where the discussion is it age and that we all grow older and more milder, or is it that, you know, I can really remember having to sort of not silence myself, but maybe just be a little bit more careful about being too out there in different countries and different groups and modifying my language or modifying my meanness, you know, to just sort of calm it down a bit to find my way. And I don't know, like they say that being your true authentic self means that what you say in your life aligns with your actions, and that it's about being true to yourself through your thoughts, words, and actions, and having all those things match. Now, if you've lived in countries that don't align with your thinking and you're trying to survive in those countries and do well in those countries, are you being authentic?
Yeah, you raised some good points. And I think that is true. When you first leave would be when you're most like your true self, because you're still raw from your homeland and you.
Yes.
So interestingly, was it an Australian you were talking to that was telling you?
Yes.
Okay. So an Australian was shocked by the words you were using. If it was an American or a British person, I wouldn't find
She wasn't shocked. No. She wasn't shocked. She was, yeah, she was just saying how funny she thought I was, like that I, it was very, very funny. She said she can remember that everybody was squealing and laughing and, oh, my God, that's so funny. But when she was telling me how funny it was and she remembered, I was thinking, I would never say that now.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of all the things that you just said, which, you know, tick, tick, tick. But so my sister-in-law, who lives in Australia, recently turned 50, and she, between lockdowns, she had a party and she had a surprise. She's in Queensland. She had a surprise visitor from South Australia who had recorded a video that I had arranged, but then went to the party as a last minute thing and performed this song where she dressed up and sang in a French accent and all this sort of stuff. And my sister-in-law said, some of my Brisbane friends were a bit sort of taken aback, you know, that she, you know, she said they're all a bit more tame here, a bit more sedate. And I know none of them are listening, so none of them are going to be offended, but yes, including my sister-in-law. But I thought about that, and I thought, well, they're friends that she's made since she's been older, because she moved there when she had sort of older children, teenage children. And
yes,
her friend that came from South Australia was a school friend. So someone that knew her when she was very young and is still like her bestie. So that they've had this more raucous relationship over time. So I think maybe it is certainly to do with age and the stage and the time of your life, which we've talked about different countries impacting. I know I've always changed the way I speak when I'm in different countries, because I'll go to Australia and people say, you sound weird, or you sound, I'm like, I sound exactly the same as I've always sounded. But actually now on reflection, I haven't, but I'm just very defensive. So yeah, I think that's true. But I, about what you say, like I'll go out and I think, okay, tonight I'm really going to just like, to sit back, and I'm not going to, when I find myself speaking up and dominating the conversation, I'm not going to do that. I'm just not going to. Three wines and it's all over. I get home and I think, God, I thought I wasn't going to act like that when I went out tonight. So I don't know. I certainly, when I'm around Australian people, I use a lot more my accent goes broader, which may, I mean, if we're talking about boganness, and I think I use terms or things that are more strain. And I don't know. I look, it's interesting because you're in this repatriation yet not repatriation stage. So you're in Australia and for the foreseeable future because of borders, mm-hmm. and you've been there for 6 months. And so it's you know, someone should study you because you, and you're not going through repatriation issues because you don't feel repatriated, as you've said before. People say, "Are you, so you're back for good?" And you say, "No, I'm not." You know, you get the bristles up.
Yeah,
and so you're kind of in this, living in this limbo land, which, but you're adapting to your environment. So it's like you're living in a new country, but you're adapting to a previous environment. So, but I think what you're saying about your authentic self is true. Being an expat, it can maybe stifle it, and it can maybe adjust, because when you move every time, you don't adjust who you are, but you have to start slowly. And, you know, you don't walk into a room of people you don't know and start, you know, singing show tunes or explaining your bikini wax situation, except in Jakarta. But I just say, but you don't, I mean, then that's a function of age as well. And so you don't have that, you start off slow. And so maybe you never get to where you were before. Like, you had 28 years or something in Australia and to develop your Australianness, and then, you know, you've had 10 in Qatar, but in those other countries you never got revved up all the way to where you were.
You know that feeling, Nikki, like when you go on holiday somewhere. So say you've landed in Paris, right? Say wherever. Yeah. And you land there and you get to your hotel room, you drop off your bags, you go to the loo, you brush your hair, you're all ready, you're going to go out. Do you know, like, you've got everything sorted and you've got that feeling of, okay, I'm off, I'm going to go out. And there is that feeling, isn't there, where you're a little bit nervous about, I've got my map or I've got my, you know, Google sort out, but I'm not sure where I'm going, and but I'm feeling so excited, but I'm feeling just a little bit nervous. And those interactions all day with those people are, am I really doing this? You know, is this really happening? I'm speaking, you know, far more slowly. I'm concentrating so much harder on what I'm doing, and it's going to be such an accomplishment just to get back to the hotel at the end of this day.
Yes.
But whatever. And that is expat life in a way, of your first 6 months of, I'm venturing out of the hotel, but I'm not really sure, and I'm just going to do it. And so you're not really, you're right, you can't be truly authentic, because you can't, you know, until you've settled in and found it. But, I mean, I'm with you. I'm a big believer in reinventing yourself, and I think expats do reinvent themselves, and they do because they can choose. They don't have to give all the details, and, you know, or nobody knows all the details. You're starting afresh each time, and you choose what information you're going to give out. Mm. Towards how you're going to be. But, yeah, I did think about it, because I really want to be more authentic. I think this is where this is coming from, is I keep looking at things like this and thinking, how do I be an example for my children that you can be your authentic self, that you can just be you?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, Kirsty, as an expat in a pandemic, how do you cope with a tough week when you're just feeling off kilter and things go a bit wonky? And just to explain that a bit more, last week I had a really bad week, and I just feel and still feel so disconnected and discombobulated almost. So I had this week where, you know, my husband's work was going through this massive reorganization. People were losing their jobs, and he was very stressed about that. At my work, we went through the same thing, where some people in our office went on Kurzarbeitgeld, which is where the government pays your salary and you don't come to work until the business picks up again. You know, my daughter was home and we had to take her for a COVID test. you know, so I wasn't at work some days. I ended up online having a fight with my best friends in our WhatsApp group. And it's something I still don't understand. And I just, every day I cried. Like, for some reason, I was just every day feeling really awful by the time I got to the end of the day. And even though I capped off the week with a farewell, we went out with friends and we really had a great night. But I did feel so much, you know, spending time with friends and laughing is really good medicine. But I didn't feel the same way that I would normally feel afterwards. I still have that slightly weird feeling. And I think it's hard because although I saw them and I sat with them, you know, I think touching is so important and you miss it so much. Like, there wasn't the hugs and kisses on arrival and the hugs and kisses when you leave because you're doing it in public and everyone might see you. So it's just, it doesn't matter how many cocktails you have now. We do not hug and kiss on departure. So like, just, I don't know what it is. I just feel really, and so one thing that you'd say is, you know, do something you love, see a friend, have a glass of wine with someone. And just none of those things really worked for me. And I don't know what to do. But having said that, I wrote this question down and then I went to LinkedIn for some reason, some notification popped up and a friend had shared an article and it was so weird. It said that the lost name for the emotion we're all feeling right now. And it's about this emotion called, I don't know how to pronounce it, acedia.
It's either acedia or acedia.
Acedia,
I'm thinking it would be acedia.
Yes. It was about by monks in the very early days about the spatial and social constrictions that a solitary monastic life necessitates. But it says these conditions generate a strange combination of listlessness, undirected anxiety, and the inability to concentrate. And together these things make up the paradoxical emotion of acedia. And I just thought, that is so true. That's kind of what I'm feeling.
Anxiety. Yeah. And I think we've talked about it without being able to kind of put our finger on it, haven't we? Because we've talked about why, you know, we've talked about creativity and, you know, why can't we be more creative and why is that not happening? And everybody's saying the same thing. You know, people that you usually see that are so, so creative aren't. Although, I mean, you gave great examples last time of people that were with Taylor Swift and the rest of it. But I, you know, I look to people, you know, like Lee Sales, who is a journalist on the 7:30 report. And I remember the first lockdown with her saying, oh, I just can't concentrate on anything for more than 5 minutes and I can't, you know, do anything really, and trying to, you know, find out why. Look, I think with me, Nikki, one of the things I noticed that does really help me is to get offline and to turn the television off. So one of the worst things I did in lockdown was I would come out, make a cup of coffee and put on morning TV. And, of course, it just, all it is coronavirus, just coronavirus, coronavirus, coronavirus. How many people have died? How many new cases? How many? And, you know, I live somewhere where there really isn't coronavirus.
Yeah.
But all around me in other states there are, and that is always the lead story of how many people and whatever, and it just gets you down. And the reason I say this is because last week I had 67% less screen time than I had the week before. And I had a much better week. And I think too, you know, I went through all the trauma of packing up my parents, but doing 2 days of cleaning and achieving something, that makes you feel better, weirdly. Do you know, like, where you don't, all I had on was music. So it was because I was with my sister and she is still listening to the Eagles and Cat Stevens and, you know, all those things. So I went back to this time where she was in her purple room and I was in my green room and we were, you know,
kids and whatever, and had lots of giggles. But it was just music, cleaning, getting jobs completed. You know, I'm going to start in this room and make my way to this room and go to this room and do whatever. And then having to do a lot of driving, so you're not scrolling. You're, once again, listening to podcasts and music. But I think that makes a massive difference. I don't think it can be underestimated how bad scrolling on our phones is at the moment, because it's all COVID. And it doesn't matter whether you're watching a YouTube clip or you're listening to a sport thing or you're hearing about a festival, it all has a COVID based story to it that just reminds you, you know. So I think books, music, and setting tasks that have a beginning and an end are really, really helpful. But that's obviously just me. That's not everyone, but that's a personal thing that I have found has really helped me. Because same, I'm like you, you know, there's been some times where I have just thought, I can't do this. Like, I'm really, really struggling. You know, we are. And you know, when we say we all are, I just think it's the weirdest freaking year for seeing terrible things that have happened. Right? I know I have a big list, but I know lots of people that have a big list.
It was weird because during the first lockdown, I just thought, well, we have no control, and I just let control go, and it was frustrating, and there was a lot to do, and you know, then my husband was sick and whatever, but it was different. And now I just feel maybe it's this constant state of wondering when it's going to happen again. Maybe that's the thing.
Yes.
So
yes,
the knowing that situation is going to happen again, and we don't know when, and I don't know. But next question.
Nikki, have you ever been a flight angel or a flight buddy for someone's pet?
I haven't, and I don't know if I could. I just would feel the responsibility was too much. And if something happened, I would be too stricken.
I don't think that's my fault. To be fair, I really don't think. I've seen it a lot in Qatar, because in Qatar there's a lot of Salukis. Do you know what a Saluki is?
Oh, it's going to be a certain type of dog, isn't it?
Yes. So a Saluki looks kind of like a greyhound.
Interesting.
And very similar, but they are I think native to the Middle East, and they seem to be thick on the ground Salukis. Like, whenever there's a lost dog or dogs at the vets, you know, looking for a home, they've usually got a little bit of Saluki in them, or they are a Saluki. Anyway, naturally, because of that, while they're thick on the ground in Doha, they're not so much in other parts of the world, and so people are quite keen to have them in other parts of the world. And so they get rescued and go. And from what I gather from people who have done it, there really isn't a lot involved. It's just that you're the person whose name is attached to the booking, right? So the flight angel and flight buddy organization will get the pet, you know, to you at the airport. We'll meet you at the airport and say, here it is, you've just got to check it in, and then away it goes. And then the organization is waiting at the other end to pick up the pet, and you just sign it out. And I know it happens in Doha all the time, where people will say, yeah, I'm flying out, I'm happy to, you know, put my name down to be the person that's taking the dog, and it just makes it easier. But I saw someone was looking for, you know, volunteers and suggesting that it was a great thing to do. And I thought, oh, I'm going to ask Nikki if she's ever done that, because I've never thought to do it. And now I think, gosh, it's such an easy thing to do. I'd be happy to do it.
Excellent. So we'll look out for flight buddy Kirsty.
Yes.
Do you want a vest? Do you get a high vids vest or something?
I wonder. Okay, last question, Nikki.
Okay, last question. So I realized and remembered that our visas are due for renewal again. So listeners might remember this time last year when we were renewing our visa, because my husband had moved to Denmark, and that we had no right of residency and had to apply for these special condition visas so my son could stay and finish school. And we hoped to have them till the end of June 2021, but they didn't. The And it's all depends on the person who you get, because there's no rule about it. It's a person by person situation. So the office that we went to said, well, we'll give them to
hang
you.
Hang on. You're telling me Germany, the land of rules.
Yeah.
That it is a person by person decision. So whether you get, I don't know, throw me a couple of German names. Whether
Yeah.
Whether you get Heike or Hilda, you could have got an extension for 9 months or 12 months.
Or not at all. Or not.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. That's why it was so stressful at the time, because it's not required to grant it. So if the German that you meet is following the rules, zero. You get zero.
Wow.
So which is why it was very stressful at the time. And when they gave it to next October, I thought, oh, well, it's at least the next October. Because our main income earner was leaving us, and so – well, theoretically leaving us. And so we had to say that and show that we wouldn't be a burden on the German system in any way, that we would pay our own way, which we have been able to do over the past 12 months. So, but now it's come around to time to do it again. And I think I talked about at the time how you would turn up and you could go in and see the appointments start from 7:30, but from 6 o'clock you could get in the door to write your name on the list. And so people were outside the door at 6 o'clock in the morning, you know, having this sort of jostle and to get in to write your name down to get the first few appointments of the day. And I walked past the building last week, and it jogged my memory that we'd have to go there again soon to do that. And now it just says by appointment only. And so there won't be any lining up and jostling to run in to grab the pen from the other people to write your name down at 6 o'clock in the morning. So
yes,
I was thinking, goodness, that's just adds so many layers to it, because at least that's something you can do by yourself. And then yes, we did have somebody help us, a relocation consultant, assist us in going through the process when we were there. So just because my German's not up to scratch and you don't want to get into an argument with a German government official and not have enough good German, but not even have an argument, but just be able to explain in detail yes, what's happening. Yeah. And so it was very, very comforting to have someone there with us to go through that process. But I was thinking, I don't know how it's going to work this year and how we're going to get through it and get it done.
I was wondering too about how this works with all the people when you live in countries where you really don't understand the bureaucracy and the language on top of it, and things may be a little bit chaotic. And so I'm kind of thinking of Jakarta when I say this, but also all the things, all the times in all the countries where we've had to kind of employ a fix-it person, and that fix-it person hasn't been from a particular company. It's been, you know, we have met people in car parks where we've told them our plight and for visas or for people we know who might need assistance or whatever, where they've then gone to police stations and done all sorts of things on our behalf to try and help us out, you know, where we haven't understood how things have worked. And, you know, my thought was, well, what happens to all those people now with COVID? And Nikki, you thought, oh no, they probably are busier.
The business is booming.
Because we can't all get into those places, and maybe they still can because that's their business. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I would imagine that the fixers are doing quite well, because there are so many people struggling with things like visa renewals and overstaying, and because all the government departments have slowed down because of the way that they have to work. For example, I know in the immigration area that I need to go to, in Hamburg it works that you go to your local area, your suburban one, but I have a friend that works in another one in another suburb, and she goes in 2 days a week, 1 week, and 3 days a week the next week. So they only have half their team in at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So they're doing half I mean, they're face to face. It's half what it normally is.
And so you and I were both saying that we would never ever think of picking up the phone to ring any of these people because our communication skills are never good enough. Like, I would never think, oh, you know, I need to get my license renewed. I'll just ring the license department in Qatar. I would never ever do that. You know, my kids' visas, any of those things, I would never pick up the phone. I would always know that I would have to dress a certain way, leave the house in the morning, be on the front doorstep when the gate opened, and expect to lose the entire day. And now with COVID, yeah, it's like, what does that mean now? Like, those lines would be three times as long. And horrendous.
Here we are, go again, having a COVID conversation when we're just talking about something else. So it is, I remember at the beginning of COVID, and we said, you know, we're not going to talk about it all the time because there is life outside it. What I'd say now is it's part of life. So, you know, these bizarre situations and bizarre things that we just have to deal with are just part of life now. And I know everyone gets very upset when people say the new normal. I don't want this to be my normal. This isn't my normal. And I understand that. I really do. But in the meantime, you just got to get on with it.
Yeah.
And it's not that you're being, beaten into acceptance of it or something. It's just like, you've got to get stuff done. So this is the way you have to do it to get the things done.
Yes. And you're right, because, I mean, I could preach as much as I like, well, that you just need to get a cup of tea and a book and sit outside in the sunshine and listen to music, because all of those things, you know, haven't changed. But at the same point, no, but what I'm saying, at the same point of me saying get a cup of tea, listen to music, read your book and sit outside, I still am very conscious of the fact that I need to get my visa renewed in Qatar in November. And it is, yes. So my permanent residency in Qatar expires in November. And, you know, we all know that leaving Australia right now is pretty much nigh on impossible. So, so as much as I can chill and have 67% less screen time and pull myself away from those things, all those things are still floating around in the back of your mind. So yes, it is, it's ominous and everywhere. And how stupid were we all those months ago, Nikki, when we were saying, okay, we're only going to have, you know, this many COVID comments in the Facebook group, you know, because we can't just have it all be COVID. It still has to be a little bit expat.
Well, yeah, but I think at the time we made the right decisions, because people were saying, what can I do?
Yes.
And everything was changing every day. And so to have those posts was just ridiculous, because every country had different rules and they were all changing every day.
Yes.
And it's like, dare we say it, the poor returning Australians trying to get back into Australia and dealing with the airlines, those things are changing every day as well. And so, you know, it's just now there's something else that's changing every day. Now expats are used to COVID, if we say it like that, used to in inverted commas. And so posts in the group are just about, so I'm thinking about this and then how that impacts based on the current world situation. So people aren't being sort of panicking. They're being sort of more just practical and realistic about it all, but, you know, which is a little bit sad too. Anyway, Kirsty, favorite things are good to talk about.
Hey, Nikki, Ottolenghi, have you seen new cookbooks out?
I haven't seen.
Right.
But so, I should have, I imagine.
You know, I am a massive fan of Simple, which is the yellow and white book that I think I read somewhere. Because I think after Simple came Plenty, and there was about 2 million copies of that sold in some, you know, ridiculous amount of time. Anyway, now we have Flavor, and I think Flavor was released last week. So when I went and did my Father's Day book shopping, I saw it up there and I thought, oh,
one book for Dad, one book for G, and one book for me.
Perfect.
But it looks amazing, and I haven't cooked yet because I literally got it on Saturday and I went, you know, headed up to Redmark and then back today. So some of the things I have got in mind, though, is they Hasselback beetroot with lime leaf butter. So I know if you're not a beetroot lover, but when you see this Hasselback beetroot, it looks exactly like Hasselback potatoes in the same way that they've cut them and done them. Spicy mushroom lasagna. I'm a big mushroom lover, though. You're not a mushroom lover. See,
I don't like mushrooms.
Would you do the aubergine dumplings?
Yeah, of course, aubergine dumplings.
Yes,
of course.
With Parmigiana. And Romano pepper schnitzels. So I'm looking forward to it. Okay, my other thing that I really liked was, you know, David Tennant has a podcast. And he had Judi Dench on this week, which I thought was really lovely. But I loved her comment at the beginning when he said, "How are you going in Corona?" And she said, "Oh, it's all so vacuous, isn't it?" She goes, "Do you even know what the date is?" And the other thing I got a giggle over was I didn't realize that Judi Dench's daughter is also an actress and she's done very, very well. But I loved the Englishness of her name because everyone calls her Finty. So she's Finty Williams because Judi Dench was married to Michael Williams. But her real name is Tara Cressida Francis, known as Finty Williams. And I'm not sure you can get more posh British than Cressida, can you?
No, I don't think so. Is it Cressida or Cressida?
Oh, sorry, Cressida. It would be Cressida. Yes, Tara Cressida Francis Finty Williams. So, yeah, I did get a giggle over that because I automatically went down the rabbit hole when they – because, of course, David Tennant knows Judi Dench very well. So, you know, they were talking about Finty as if, you know, Finty was there in the room. I'm thinking, Finty. And then when it was like – I was thinking, well, how do you end up being Finty out of Tara Cressida Francis? And another interview, you know, with someone of sort of the same vintage was with Miriam Margolyes. I don't know if you've listened to it, Nikki. Mia Friedman interviewed her.
I haven't listened to Mia's, but she's been on the around the traps lately.
Yeah.
Like I've seen her in a few places. She must be promoting something. And I didn't even realize that her partner was Australian.
Yes, because she's got a house in Australia and lives in Australia.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't realize like that. But I do, yes, I did. I do really enjoy a Miriam Margolyes.
Look,
interview.
It's really good, but there are some. The reason I listen to it is I don't always listen to No Filter with Mia, but I do really, really like Miriam, and I did see in the No Filter Facebook group people were saying, "Oh, I felt so awkward for Mia, or I felt so uncomfortable for Mia, and wasn't Miriam great?" I was like, "Gosh, what happened?" Like instantly, it was like, "Oh my gosh, what happened?" Anyway, and what actually happens is Mia sort of goes down a line of wanting to know more about Miriam's lesbian life and asks one lesbian question sort of after another, and Miriam eventually just says, you know, in only the way that Miriam can, you know, "Why are you so interested in me being a lesbian? Like, what's with all the lesbian questions? Are you a lesbian?" and then says, because, you know, Mia's saying things like, "Oh, do you think that lesbian women think?" And she basically says, you know, it's like asking whether all women with brown hair like orange juice. You know, why would you lump everyone in the same group? You know, they're all so different and whatever. But she because she's 80, she raises really interesting points about she said she wished she hadn't come out to her parents because she thought it was very cruel.
I did see that clip.
Yeah.
And I saw Mia's total confusion at that.
Yes.
At that.
Yes.
I didn't know any of the other stuff, but I saw that clip. I don't know. It must have been in my Facebook feed. I saw and I thought, "Oh, there's Miriam Margolyes. I'll have a listen."
Yes.
And I saw it and I thought, "Oh, that's rough. That question is rough." But if all those other things happen, then, you know, good on Mia because No Filter is an edited podcast. So it's not like she couldn't have cut that stuff out.
Yes, I thought the same.
So she left it in.
Yeah.
At the risk of seeming like she was a little bit.
I thought the same. I thought exactly the same. I thought Mia Friedman showed her growth in that all of her reactions, you know, I think sometimes as women we can take things as a real punch in the face and almost get our hackles up of you're being mean to me or you don't like me and, you know, And Mia didn't. She kind of giggled along with her and adequately explained why she was asking the questions she was asking. And I thought the same thing. I thought, you know, she could have cut it out. She could have said, and you know with Mia, she's had a few promotional disasters with other women she's interviewed where she could have gone, oh, no, I'm going to get destroyed for this. I'm going to cut this out. But she didn't. And I thought the same thing. I thought, well done for leaving it in. And I guess too that, see, that just goes to show I am on that whole thing about older women with authenticity. And because I was thinking, you know, that's why we love Judi Dench and that's why we love Miriam Margolyes, because they just are who they are. They don't pretend. They give you it all, warts and all. But, and just on that, you know, I'm a massive fan of Don't Shoot the Messenger. And I thought the same thing this last week. Carolyn Wilson, who, of course, is a football writer, and all of football has made its way to Brisbane for the next month, and she's chosen not to go. Have you listened to this last episode? You're nodding away, yes. And but how good was it that a lot of people would have got spat the dummy, like throwing all their toys out of the cot and said, I'm not going to Brisbane, so I'm not going to get to write like all the peak journalists that did get to write. But she hasn't. She has said, I don't want to go to Brisbane for 2 months. It's too long to be away from my family. But I am going to do double the workload, and I know that I'm going to get those phone calls in, and I'm going to, you know, that sometimes it works better to be out of the inner circle and to be on the outer sanctum, and that I will get better stories because I'm not there in there, you know, that I'll be ringing them and getting those better stories. And I just thought that is so admirable. Don't you think?
Yeah, I also thought it was as it was pointed out to her, and as I listened to it on another podcast, she didn't have to sign a waiver. So everybody that went is going to be living in the same sort of
bubble
resort and bubble as the AFL executives and the coaches and the teams, and so they had to sign things to say that certain things they see and do that they won't report on, or I mean we don't know what it says, but there's some, they had to sign a waiver of some description. And so it's been pointed out that she hasn't had to sign a waiver, so she will get the good she'll get all the good juicy stories because they'll come to her, and we'll think that, you know, because she's who she is, that she will deal with them with integrity and not sort of just put them up because they're juicy.
Yes.
Just do the ones that are relevant to the game and that kind of thing.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. No, I really enjoyed hearing that because I do think she has, you know, I mean, people say she's semi-retired. I don't think she's semi-retired.
No.
She resigned from being the chief football writer of The Age, but she definitely didn't retire. I think people say that just to get under her skin. Okay. Last couple of things. I loved this essay. It was called On Witness and Respair, A Personal Tragedy Followed by a Pandemic, written by Jesmyn Ward. It truly was just the most brilliant piece of writing I've read all year. So Jesmyn Ward is an American novelist she's an award-winning American novelist. I haven't read any of her books. I hadn't heard of her before. It just popped up in Vanity Fair, and I started reading and just thought, oh, wow, this is breathtaking. But it's the story of her husband. It's amazing how she ties it in, isn't it, Nikki, of how her husband, the entire family gets sick with what in those early days was a respiratory illness, and he passes away, and then how you sort of realise that they've all had COVID without knowing that they had COVID, and then how that ties in with the Black Lives Matter. And even when she, you know, when she talks about going into the bedroom and him saying to her, I can't breathe.
Yeah.
And, yeah, Oh, look, it was just so, so beautiful. And, you know, that those people that write like that and you go, I should just never even bother writing anything.
Oh, that's so good. That's so good.
Last thing, on a completely different note, I Hate Susie, which is on Stan, and I think in the UK it's UK Sky. Where is it in your world?
It's not. I'm so frustrated. I cannot get it. I cannot find it. I cannot see it.
So I Hate Susie has Billy Piper, who was in Doctor Who years ago, and she was also in Secret Confessions of a Call Girl or Diary of a Call Girl, I think it was called. She's brilliant. She's absolutely brilliant. But this part is so made for her. And it kicks off, you see that she won some sort of award show, you know, 20 years ago, where she was a nobody that suddenly became a big somebody. And it's all about her phone getting hacked and pornographic pictures being shown on the internet of her, and it turns out it's not her husband and she has a child. And it's really, I'm up to episode 4. You realize there's a great relationship between her and her agent, where her manager is her and basically the smart girl at school that was her friend. And there's all sorts of stuff about her relationship with her husband and how that all works, and the relationship with her growing up and how that all works and why she is how she is. And I did a quick sort of bit of a read about it because I was really fascinated with who had written it, because it's just so good. And the person who wrote it, I think, also did Confessions of a Call Girl, but they were saying they didn't want to have that same character where you go, oh, she's flawed, but deep down she's a great go-getter and a good person. Do you know that it all comes out in the end? It's like, no, this person is just going to be flawed and real. There's not going to be any, you know, major, you know, redeeming moment. Yeah. So it's real. I'm really enjoying it. So I Hate Susie.
Oh, I hate that I can't see it. It's a good TV. It's so frustrating. I'll go and have another look. I think I didn't look on Amazon, but yeah, it needs to be somewhere. Okay, for me. Now, I just want to say I have found a watcher of my trash TV from last week.
Ooh.
So Teenage Bounty Hunters, big shout out to Marie in Budapest who said, oh, I'm watching that too. So let it not be said that these things can't, you know, they're still, you know, they still combined us. Okay, so things for me. So I think one thing this week was in my depression and difficult time. Someone posted on the socials, which I was reading, but I wouldn't have seen if I was off, that there is a place in Hamburg that does meat pies.
Oh, yum.
So it's like a food truck attached to a pub, but it's a stationary food truck, and so it opens for lunch, and then on weekends it opens for lunch and dinner, and but you can also do takeout. And then somebody I know posted on there that said, yes, you can do takeout, but if you order enough they can deliver to your house as well. So I was like, that's it, I'm getting some pies. The weather's changing, it's all grim, bring me all the pies. So, but I thought, you know, I'd really like to see it because I want to know, like, if we can go as a family on a weekend or something. So anyway, my daughter happened to be home from school. I wasn't able to go into the office because she was a possible COVID case. So one lunchtime I took myself off to, and I ordered some pies and I said, I'll pick them up from the place. So one lunchtime I walked over, picked up the pies on these beautiful little boxes, brought them home and put them in my freezer. But we ate some on the first night and we ate some more last night, and they're very, very good. They're called cheeky pies and I recommend them to anyone in Hamburg.
Good eye.
That's the thing. That's one thing I love. The other thing is, I think that you have mentioned this before, but maybe I didn't listen at the time, and I think it's a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. There's a podcast called Against the Rules. Mm-hmm. Have you listened to that? Yeah. Was that you?
Yeah, I have.
I'm thinking that someone's going to recommend it, because this week a friend of mine wrote on her Facebook status, again, me on the socials, I'm hearing you, Kirstie, said, I want some podcast recommendations, but I don't want any dickhead celebrities talking to their friends. Which I thought was really funny. I was just like, yeah, that's right. Okay, so let's not recommend all those ones. So she put E.G. Rob Lowe. I was thinking, I didn't know Rob Lowe had a podcast, but I guess a lot of celebrities do have podcasts where they talk to their friends. But anyway, someone had put up against the rules, and then I thought, oh, you know, I'm sure Kirstie's mentioned that before. Mm. And I started listening, and I really, really enjoyed it. There's two seasons. I think that you listened to the first season, which was about referees. Mm. So it was interviewing who are the people trying to level the playing field. And it's the guy that wrote Moneyball and Liar's Poker. And he has a look at stuff that happens every day, et cetera. And the first season was about referees, and the second season's about coaches.
Yeah.
And I'm halfway through the first season, and I'm really, really enjoying it. So if you didn't listen when Kirstie recommended, maybe you'll listen now. It's a good one. I'm quite enjoying that. And the other thing is, the other podcast I'm listening to is A Land of the Giants. So it's a podcast. It's in its second season. The first season was about Amazon. So it was about how Jeff Bezos took something from his garage and scaled it into the world's biggest, most valuable company. But then it looked into, you know, all the Amazon in your life. So its power and its role. Yes. And you know, it's in your home.
Yes.
And just over there in the corner is a little Alexa.
Yes.
So in my own study here, and it just talked about, you know, from this to that, and then where's it going to go. And that was season one. And then season two is Netflix, which is also, I mean, obviously they started doing that long before now, but Netflix, I would imagine, has gathered quite a bit of speed over this pandemic period where people are pretty much doing a lot more online streaming. So then it talked about Netflix, and it talked about, and the first few episodes are really great. And the last episode I listened to, I didn't love so much, but, you know, the whole Blockbuster thing. So Netflix are like, we're going to take on Blockbuster. And, you know, you surely remember going to the video shop on a Friday and a Saturday night, and you'd stand in line, and you would call to order to keep the video reserved that you wanted to see. And then if you didn't rewind it, you had to pay an extra dollar fine when you took it back.
Yep.
And, you know, you were always trying to send people out the door saying, oh, can you, you know, get my, take my video back. It's a week overdue. And Netflix went down that path too, because they just wanted to take on Blockbuster, you know.
Mm.
Anyway, Blockbuster bet and lost on the whole thing. They compared Blockbuster to, what's the camera people?
Oh, yes, like the Kodak.
Just went, well, film. It's all about the camera. Photos are all about film, and we're never getting out of film. And that was that was their downfall. So, it's a good one. So Land of the Giants, it's in season two. So it's just something. It's interesting, and it's sort of timeless from that point of view.
Oh, that sounds good. I'm going to listen to that. Okay.
Yes.
Nikki. Oh, our last Kirstie. One of our things that we're meant to do that I always get wrong, whether it's our four fat things or our five. What is it? It's the four fat things we're going to do that week. Now, my four fat things that I was going to do last week was I was going to update my LinkedIn profile, which was going to involve a resume update, a social media share, and a writing piece to share. And I have had an epic fail, Nikki Moffat, an epic fail. So I have not done that. So I'm breaking it down this week. I'm definitely doing it this week. I think there must be something Freudian in the fact that I don't want to update my LinkedIn profile. You know, I think someone might actually offer me a job. But
that would be terrible.
Yes, but no, I am going to do that. I think it all just got a little bit too much. You know, once I got to the weekend, I knew I was off to Remark and doing the rest of it. I was like, that's not going to happen. Let's give up on that right now. What did you do? You were going to go up to the attic.
I was taking the attic for four loads of stuff, and I did it.
Yay!
I'm so excited, because all the other weeks I had to say, no, I haven't done it. So I did my four loads of stuff, and I would say I've probably got four more to go. And so this week I'm going to stick with it and do four more loads. Yep. And I've taken photos every time. So at the end I'll have a lovely collage to put in the Two Fat Experts Insta stories where I can celebrate my success.
You'll be like my daughter who sent me a little video in WhatsApp on the weekend saying, look, Mum, you can see the floor of my room, because she'd cleaned her room and you could see the floor. And that was her achievement. That you could see the floor of her room.
Can I just say that that's your second daughter?
Yes, is that correct? That very much.
Yes.
My first daughter, if you walk past, the bed is always neatly made, the little teddies in hospital the middle of the bed with the hospital corners, the towels hanging up on its little hook. She, you know, everything's perfect. In fact, it's one of my favourite things when people come to the house and I show them through the house, I'll say, which one do you think is Lizzie's room and which one do you think is Annie's room?
That's so funny. But to talk to them, you would never guess. Like, if you just talk to them, you don't know. That's right. So you're going to stick with that one, and me too. So we'll reconvene.
I am. Week. I have to do it. I have to get in there and update it. And so I will come back and report back, because I can't have an epic fail 2 weeks in a row. Surely not.
Well, I just want to point out that we're a little bit longer, and I know you do the first edit, but just so you know, remember that someone asked for 5 minutes longer this week because of their run.
Oh, yes. They
Lisa,
did.
Lisa okay. said, just 5 minutes longer next week would be better. So I'm just reminding you that before we sign off.
Absolutely. I should say I absolutely love it when people comment and say that they've watched or watched. I love it when people.
I'm glad they have not watched.
Yeah. I'm glad that people give you the feedback to say that they've listened, or it's just really nice listening to what people were doing when they were listening. Like when Liza said she was out the front of the bank, or Miss Shardy says she was making dinners for the workers on her station, or Lisa says she's running through, you know, the mountains. I just think it's so nice to think of where people are. So please, if you ever feel up to it, we love hearing where you are when you listen. So just either come over to the website, twofatexpats.com, and click on the microphone, or you can even just go into Messenger on our Facebook group, and you can leave like a little voice message. That's a really easy way of doing it, of leaving a voicemail on Messenger.
Yeah, perfect. Okay, Kirstie, good chat. It's light and bright outside now, which means I have to go to the office. So I'll speak to you soon.
Okay. See you later. Bye.
Bye.